We have been studying the book of Isaiah. I'm going to do this real quick. And I want to greet God. Lord, if you don't want me to do it, don't let me do it. Isaiah chapter 26. Here's where we are in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 26. We have studied Isaiah through now. If you look back in chapter 24, we're in the end time. He has jumped way ahead to the judgment of God during the tribulation period. And notice what he says in chapter 24, verse 1. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste and turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And that's going to happen. Hadn't happened yet. That's going to happen. It's down the road. Look at verse 19. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgressions thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. The whole earth is going to fall under the judgment of God one of these days. When you came to chapter 25, I preached last Sunday before last on joy to the world. The Lord has come, and that has to do with the millennial reign of Christ. Now, in chapter 26, he is amplifying on that, but there's some things here that are current with them. They are in the darkest day of their history, Israel is. They're just about ready to be taken captive by the Babylonians because they will not repent. And notice what he says in chapter 26. He's talking now about the future day that's described in chapter 25. In that day there shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth truth may enter in. Now he's talking about Israel, and that's their cry during that time of the millennial reign of Christ. My heart's desire is for us to look this morning at verse 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now here's a nation who is right on the brink of total destruction. Their sister to the north, 10 tribes, have already been taken into captivity by Assyria. The southern kingdom has not repented. They've gone further into sin, and they are about to be destroyed. He's already talked about the destruction of 10 nations prior to that, and then the judgment of the whole world. And now he's told them about a time coming when Israel will once again rejoice and be restored, and we're going into the millennium and into eternity. Now, in that context, he says to those people, there is a peace that you can have. In this hour you're living in, I believe that we need that peace. We need that peace of God, he talks about here. Thou wilt keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on thee. There are three great enemies of you in this hour. It is not Islam. It is not communism. It's not humanism, although those are great enemies. The great enemies of God's people are doubt and fear and worry. I've been reading again, I'm going back through the New Testament, and somehow or another it seems that the word faith is jumping off the page at me everywhere I look. The Lord said, I've not found such great faith in Israel. He talks about those who have little faith and those who have no faith. And he said, according to thy faith, be it unto thee. It seemed to me that God has an interest in faith. God is looking for folk of faith who will trust him and believe him. People who will live what they say they are. Live their faith. I remind you that when Paul went a-looking, he didn't look for folk who were saying what they were. He's looking for those who were of the way. In other words, you could find them. You could see them. You could people who had faith. They lived the life. They walked a certain way. They lived a certain way. They acted a certain way. You could pick them out of a crowd. They were different. And he's looking for that kind of faith. Great faith. Faith like none other. And our enemy is doubt and fear and worry. There's not a promise in this Bible that says that you will not have trouble. In fact, the opposite's true. You will have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. In fact, the Lord said in this world, you'll have tribulation. You're going to have problems. You're going to have trouble. You'll have difficulty. You'll have to face all of those things. You're going to have temptation. There will be wars and rumors of war. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tears. There's going to be anguish. There's going to be loss and there's going to be sorrow. I read the other day about John the Baptist. And that's not a Sunday school lesson. It's real. He was the forerunner of Christ. He was born supernaturally, not conceived by the Holy Ghost as was the Lord Jesus Christ, but God did a miracle in mom and dad, and he was a special child. He was the forerunner of Christ. He's the one who baptized Jesus. He's the one who said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." You know how he ended up? In a prison. You know how he died? They cut his head off and brought it on a charger, brought it on a big platter into the king. Boy, I read that again last week. I said, "God, that was your man. Now people want to serve you if they're going to, you know, be prosperous. We're going to have all this other stuff." Truth of the matter is, you can have peace in a jail cell when they fix and cut your head off if you're walking with God close enough. We ain't above that. It's happening right now. We had a lady here on last Monday night. Four ladies of our church showed up. And she was talking about the plight of women around the world. She stood in our camp meeting up there with a broken heart and asked us to pray for families. One Baptist preacher in the southern part of the Philippines. I'm going to the northern part, but there's just been a Baptist preacher in the Philippines in the southern, one of the southern parts, killed by Al-Qaeda, Muslim terrorist. There's a wife there and children there who don't have a daddy because he's preaching the gospel. I don't face that right now. May face it later. But if you're going to live through stuff like that, and you're going to live through what this world's coming, you'd better have something more than Sunday school religion. You better have something real. You better know that when the gates of hell are open, that you're bound for heaven. And you can have that. He said there's a peace of God that can be perfect peace. Peace in the... He didn't promise you wouldn't have problems. He didn't promise you wouldn't have trouble. He didn't promise that we won't face in our personal lives and our national life awful things. But he did say this, "I'll give you peace in the midst of the storm." And that's what we need now we're living in. Look at it, and I'll be quick and I'll be brief if God will let me. Notice what it says. He said, "Thou wilt keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on thee." There's a peace that's promised, and it's described as a perfect peace. It is a perfect peace. What does it mean? It means free from all disturbances in our spirit and in our soul. Now, you missed the Sunday school assembly. You missed a great study. You are a trinity. You're a body, a soul, and a spirit, or a spirit, a soul and a body. That's the way the Word of God says, like Brother Ricky pointed out this morning. Spirit. See, God is a lot more interested in our spirit than He is in our body. Brother Linwood, if you heard Brother Linwood this morning, he's preaching and he said we do a lot of praying for the body and we ought to, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is that soul, that spirit of person. Brother Ricky pointed out to us that a man's a spirit. That soul has to do with your mind and your emotions and that part of you. And of course, you know what your body is. But the spirit's that part that's connected to God. If you're lost this morning, your spirit's dead. You're alive physically. You're alive mentally. You're alive emotionally. And therefore, you can be moved emotionally to join a church and still die and go to hell. You can be moved mentally to believe and accept what this Bible says and still die and go to hell. It's only when that spirit is changed. It's only when that spirit is made alive. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses. And when the spirit of man is made alive through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then it affects the soul, it affects your emotion, then it affects your mind, then it affects your body. That's the way it works. And God said there's a perfect peace for those whose minds are stayed on thee, those who trust in thee. It's a perfect, means it's free from all disturbances. It's perfect harmony. The word shalom mean it has to do really with a soundness of health. And a lot of people have mental and emotional disturbances today. And shalom has to do with spiritual health. You're healthy spiritually. You're sound spiritually. And that there's a peace of God that God could give when there's no restlessness, when there's no discord in your soul. And when you're filled with that peace, and when you're filled, I've got books. You know, I look at all this stuff about health and everything. The Bible said, if you know, do good and don't do it, just sin. But there's a book out that deals with detoxification of your body. You've got all kind of toxins in your body. All of us have. That we have got into our system, and that's why we have a lot of problem we have. And this particular doctor is interested in us detoxifying our body. God made a wonderful thing when he made your body. He made a body that can get off every impurity. When you eat a lot of salt and you get thirsty, you know what your body's doing? It's trying to flush it out of you. Trying to get it out of you. Body's smart. God, the Holy Ghost made this body, and it's smart body to heal itself. We treat it right. God made it that way. And to have health, not only have you got to have some good things in it, but you got to get the junk out of it. You understand what I'm saying? Detoxifying. And God's people need some detoxification. We got too much junk in us. Got to get it out. It's made us, we don't have spiritual peace because we don't have spiritual health. And shalom means that there are spiritual wholeness and spiritual health. There's no room in that for envy. There's no room in that spirit for jealousy. There's no room in that spirit for disobedience. There's no room in that spirit for an uncontrolled temper. There's no room in that spirit for selfishness or for vulgarity or immorality or harsh criticism or fear or anxiety. When there's perfect peace, all that's out of there. You can't have it in there if you have perfect peace. And the reason God's people don't have any perfect peace is because they got too much junk on the inside of them. God needs to purify us. We need to let God detoxify us to where we'll have perfect peace. But it is possible. Remember our Lord when he was on that ship that day in the book of Mark, chapter 4, I just read it the other day. And he said to the storm, "Peace, be still." And it just laid down. And he turned to his disciples. He said, "Why were you so fearful, O ye little faith?" There's a peace. There's a peace that you can have. Your hearts this morning in an uproar. And part of it's because we got junk in there that don't need to be in there. We've got to get that out and got to speak peace to our heart. But he spoke peace to that. And the reason they were fearful is because he said they had little faith. Little faith. But he said there's a perfect peace. What do you mean by perfect peace? Well, first of all, because the quality of it. It's perfect peace. You see, there's a false peace. There is the peace of ignorance. It's that person that thinks everything is just cool, everything's fine, and they're just completely ignorant of the situation. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 14, he talks about that people who says this, "Peace, peace, where there is no peace," he said. They think everything's cool, but it's not. They're ignorant of what's going on. Dead in trespasses and sin, they don't understand. There's an ignorance, but that's not perfect peace. Not ignorance to the real circumstance and situation. I think I'm okay, preacher. I think I'm all right. I'm doing the best I can. Ignorant people. Ignorant. Ignorant. Paul writes and he said, "I would not have to be ignorant, brethren." Because a lot of people don't understand. And a lot of people who don't know what's going on in this world or what's going on in their own life, they don't know what peril they are in personally, spiritually, until God awakens them and quickens them. And then that false sense of peace is gone. They're no longer ignorant. He said, "You're accountable." There's a time that God winked, he said it, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. There's that false peace that comes through ignorance. There is false peace that seems to be peace, but it's really stagnation. You walk out in the woods or somewhere and you see a little pool of water and it looks so calm and peaceful. But when you look at it, it has a green color to it, it's because that's a stagnant pool. And you look at a life and it looks calm and peaceful, but it's really under it. It's full of stagnation. You know what happens when you stir that up? It's the foulest odor that comes out of that you've ever smelt in your life. It's just that old swampy, nasty smell of decaying critters and everything else down there, and decaying leaves and all that stuff. And when it's disturbed, that comes to the surface. And there's some of you who have a false sense of peace, and it underneath the surface is stagnation. That's a false sense of peace. That's not perfect peace. There's a peace, a false peace of ignorance. There's a false peace of stagnation. And there's a false peace of dependency. They're dependent on something or somebody else, and they have a sense of peace about that. And there are folk who attach themselves to a preacher, and they have a sense of peace around this particular preacher. Well, that's the basis of their peace. And so if the preacher messes up, they lose their peace. They get all tore up. If something happens that's not right, they lose that, and they trust in people and other things. The Bible said, have no confidence in the flesh. None. Our trust is to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a false sense of peace. But not only is perfect peace in the quality of it, but in the quantity of it. Perfect peace in the quality of it. It's perfect peace. There's none of those things I just talked about. But in the quantity of it. Perfect peace means sufficient peace. That's all you need. I mean, it doesn't mean it's peace. Most people, as long as the payments are made and the car's still running and they're able to get in and out, nobody's sick and dying, everything's good. But boy, you let the car tear up, let the report come that somebody's got cancer, let a kid go wrong, and boy, they lose every bit of the peace. But perfect peace means it's sufficient for every situation, good times and bad. Perfect peace. And that's what he's offering you. Perfect peace. Look in the book of Philippians chapter 4. Turn there because I want you to hold on to that for just a minute. In Philippians chapter 4, look at verse number 7. He says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There is a perfect peace in quantity that is sufficient for every situation. And he said that peace of God is possible to you. And it shall keep your hearts and minds, and it passes all understanding. Now watch this. There is a peace that you can have that will garrison or protect your heart and your mind. Now here's what happens. I'm saved, and I know I'm saved, and the Spirit of God lives in my spirit. He's quickened my spirit, and way down in my heart and spirit and in my spiritual understanding, I know everything's okay. I know He's going to take care of me. I know that I'm going to be in heaven for the rest of my life. But it's not my spirit, my heart, that I have the problem with most of the time. It's my mind. Satan wars against your mind. You know why? Because he can't touch your heart. That belongs to God. The Holy Ghost of God lives in there. And so you sit around and you're worried to death about something, but you say, now I know deep inside everything's going to be all right, but I'm worried. That's your heart and your mind. But there's a perfect peace of God, sufficient peace and quantity to fill your mind and your heart. To where not only in your spirit, but in your mind that everything's okay and you're going to trust God. And you can be like Job, though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. That doesn't mean that everything's going to work out the way you think it ought to, or anybody else thinks it ought to. And everybody may look at you and think, man, you, God's a judging you. Your children have all died. Your business has collapsed. Your homes have fell down. You've got sores from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. And you're sitting out here on an ash heap. But you can have the perfect peace of God, and everything else is taken away from you. Heart and mind. Heart and mind. And God said, you can have that. Wow. I wonder who's got that. Wonder who in this congregation, wonder who on the internet has that kind of peace. Well, God wouldn't put it in the Bible if you couldn't have it. Yeah. You can have that kind of peace. Is that peace? Romans chapter 5, will you look there real quick? Hold your place in Philippians 4, because I'm coming back there. Romans chapter 5. Look in Romans chapter 5. Let me read this statement to you. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Perfect peace is only possible to those who have peace with God. That's a qualifying statement. If you're lost this morning, you will never, never, never have perfect peace until you know the perfect Savior. Peace with God comes by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin and trusting Him as your Savior. Back over in Philippians, look at the phrase now. Look at it. Philippians chapter 4. Here he talks about the peace of God. Have you got peace with God? Have you ever been saved? That means your spirit has been quickened and made alive, and there's now no condemnation to them than Christ Jesus. Look at it. He said you can have the peace of God. How does this peace come? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you have the capability. Listen to what I'm fixing to tell you. If you're saved by the grace of God, you have peace with God. There's therefore no condemnation of them in Christ Jesus. But you may not be enjoying today the peace of God. You may have peace with God. No, you're saved. You're a child. But you may not have that peace of God. That's why there are so many Christians that are just all out of kilter. Peace of God. How does that come? Bible says right here, it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. I'm turning to it real quick. In Colossians chapter 1, I'll read verse 20. Look at it and listen to what it says. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, the peace of God and the peace with God all comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one to give it to you. It's all Jesus. I'm hastening on. It not only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, but it comes by the Holy Spirit of God. When you get saved, God quickens your spirit. You become alive, and the Spirit of God is resident in your life. But if you disobey Him and you grieve Him, you lose your peace. Not your peace with God. That has to do with your relationship. But peace of God is dependent on our fellowship with Him. And if you don't have that right relationship with Him, you don't have any peace. That's why you're restless today, even as a believer. The Holy Spirit of God is the one who does that. Jesus purchased our salvation on the cross. It's the Holy Spirit of God who convicts us and draws us. It's the Holy Spirit of God who births us and who resides in us. And so it's the Holy Spirit of God that will, through the Lord Jesus Christ, will make that peace available to you. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Second thing, or third thing, not only through Jesus Christ, not only through the Holy Spirit, but in, write this down, Psalms 119, verse 165. I'm going to turn to that real quick. You don't have to turn to it. Let me see if I can find it real quick and read it for you. Psalms 119, and I want to read verse 165 and listen to this wonderful verse. It says this, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That word offend really means to disturb. He said, great peace have they who love thy law, the word of God, and the word of God can bring you peace. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the word of God. Obedience. Write this down. I won't read it. Leviticus 26, verses 3 through 6. He said, I will declare peace. But in the preceding verses, he said, if you do this, and if you do that, and if you do the other. And the reason a lot of people don't have any peace, even as believers, is because they live in a life of disobedience. They have not obeyed God. Some folk are robbing God of the tithe.
You say, well, I don't believe in it. Well, God does.
Hey. Amen.
And if you're robbing God, you may think nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. But God does. And he's not going to give you, why would he want to give you his peace when you're in rebellion against him? So many areas, I'm not going to go through all of them, but any area of disobedience. Let me just simply say this. Verse the Bible says this, Holy Ghost is given to those who obey him. That doesn't mean residence. He's in every believer, but it means his peace and all that comes through the ministry of the Holy Spirit is only through those who will obey him. Go back to Philippians 4. I told you I was coming back there. Philippians chapter 4. That peace, perfect peace, comes through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and obedience to God. And then in chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind. Not only through the Holy Spirit, not only through Jesus, not only through the Word, not only through obedience, but here in verse 6, through prayer and praise, you can have that peace of God. I'm through. Now listen, go back to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, and listen, if you miss this, you'll miss the whole message. Isaiah chapter 26. And look at verse 3 with me. Isaiah 26, verse 3. He makes this promise to us. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Now watch. Here's the condition of this perfect peace. It comes to you through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through obedience, through prayer and praise. But here's the condition. I will keep in perfect peace. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me because he trusteth in me. Now here are two parts of you. Your mind, you believe in your mind, you trust with your heart. And so he said, if you're going to have perfect peace, it's going to involve your mind. And with your mind, you believe that he is the author of peace. You believe that he is the possessor of peace. You believe that he is your source of peace. You believe that he's able to give you peace. And you believe that he will give you peace. But a lot of people die and go to hell believing that Jesus died on a cross. Did you know that? Because they said this. They've never believed in their heart. And he said you believe it in your mind, but you've got to trust him with your heart. It's a spiritual thing, your heart. Some of you have no peace because you don't have the right kind of heart. Your heart may be out of fellowship with God, but if your heart's right, you can have that perfect peace. You're believing through your mind. You know him through your mind, but you receive it through your heart. It comes through your heart. Now look at the verse with me. And if you mark your Bible, mark this. Look at the very first word. Thou, underline that word thou. Thou will keep in perfect peace. That means God. God's going to keep in perfect peace. Keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because thou trusteth in, because he trusteth in thee. And underline the word thee. And draw a circle around the word thee. That verse about perfect peace starts with God, thou, and it ends with God, thee. You see that? Perfect peace, thou, thee, God, God. That perfect peace comes to a person that begins with God, ends with God. And in the middle between those two words for God is a believing and a trusting heart. Perfect peace is for those who are willing to stay there. Yeah. Whose mind stayed on God. I'm focused on him. I'm loving him. I'm depending on him. I'm honoring him. I'm loving him. And as long as you'll stay between thou and thee, if you stay right there, There's perfect peace right there.